Greetings and welcome to the Family Worship Center Media Ministry, coming to you from the Family Worship Center in St. George, New Brunswick.
Today, our pastor, Pastor Eric Orm, will be preaching a message entitled, Walking the Line, Walking in the Spirit. If you would like a copy of this message or any other message from this ministry, please contact the church office at area code 506-755-3759. Now, here's Pastor Eric Orm with today's message.
Praise the Lord. Father's Day. Great day, isn't it? Father's Day. We celebrated Mother's Day a little while ago, and today is Father's Day. My dad is speaking, or he's testifying today at our home church. He's almost 85, and then this next month he's 85. And so he called me last night, and he told me he's sharing on how dads should contend for the faith. And I thought about faith, yes, faith of our fathers. Amen? Faith of our fathers. That we stand today because the faith not only of our mothers, but our fathers also. Yeah. Amen? There's, just you'll pardon me, just make another little, give you a little story as to what's happening back there in my hometown. There's a young man in our community that died like, I don't know, number of weeks ago. And that family never, as I know for, never ever knew the Lord or ever attended church of any kind. And but it just so happened last Sunday night, his mom came out to church. But somebody talked to him before he died, and he gave his heart to the Lord. And now the family has got a problem, right? Because he's somewhere where they want to go. And so last Sunday night, the mom came to church and gave her heart to the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And this woman, unchurch woman, she's so filled with the presence and power of God, immediately when she gave her heart to the Lord, she was slain out in the Spirit twice in the service. And then my niece, she's so fired up, she's going around saying, tell me about the old times, tell me about the old times. I thank God that we can tell her about the new times, right?
Yeah.
Yes, amen. The Lord is doing a fresh, and it is a new day. And today is a new season and a new day. And you know what? We were born into kingdom for such a time as this. This day is significant. This day is in and of itself unique and self-contained and is special before the Lord, and he's recorded everything in this service today and until it's over. It's unique package before the Lord. It's a time before God, and he ministers to us right where we are in this service, and he receives your praise. He receives your worship, and he speaks to our hearts, and I thank him for that today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we just thank you now because your word is truth. We thank you, Lord, that we can always depend on your word. And we look to your word today, and we're asking that your word become rhema. That this word today, Lord, that it would be more than just black letters on a white page, but the life that's in your spoken word, the life that's in the rhema word, would spring off the page and into the hearts of every man and woman and boy and girl in the house today, in Jesus' mighty name. Now, I'm going to do a lot of, I think I am anyway, I plan to do a lot of reading of scripture today. Because how many know the word is sharper? Amen? The word is sharper. And as I read this through, some things were jumping coming into my heart, and I believe Holy Spirit was ministering to me. And so I want to read it to you, and I believe the Lord will touch each of you in our own special, unique way. By the way, before if you're planning leaving early, I just want to you know that after the message is finished, we're going to have Ashley come out, and we're going to be praying with her because she's leaving to go on a long trip on Tuesday morning. So we want to bless her and pray God's angels be with her as she travels. We're turning in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. And this is a time when you'll have to think a little bit, especially if you grew up just reading the Word and hearing the Word, and you just read it for the sake of reading it. Some people can boast about reading the Bible through so many times. God bless you. Wonderful. But sometimes we need to slow down. Sometimes we need to meditate and think about what we're saying and what is the context in which the Holy Spirit has written. And we're very famous for taking one verse, two verses, and, you know, but we often need to take it in context so we get a deeper truth. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of the sin and death mentioned there means the natural death. We are born in sin and we are destined to die in our sin. But Jesus, but the cross, without the Spirit of life, we would remain dead, our spirit man dead in trespasses and sin. So there's a law that is on us called the law of sin and death. But now that we're born again, we have the law of the life of Jesus in Christ Jesus in us and making us alive. Verse 3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. He condemned the sin that's in our flesh. That the righteous requirement of the law required righteousness, right? The law required that we be righteous in our own obedience to the law, the schoolmaster, the law. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Jesus came to fulfill that law, didn't he? He came to fulfill that law. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. In other words, fleshly minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Are you with me? But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. You are not in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit. How? If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. He's not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, tell your neighbor, therefore. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, Abba, Father. He chose me. You've been adopted. Sometimes adopted children have some kind of complex about the fact that, well, I'm not the biological relative. But the truth is, you were chosen. And he chose you. He didn't have to. But you are born by the Spirit of God, born again, because he chose you. And we cry, Abba, Father. We can say, Father, Daddy God. Isn't that something? Wow. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. I thank the Lord for that. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children and heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. That's a little area of scripture that we cough over. We kind of skip over lots of times. What is this business if we suffer with him? Have you been through anything? Have you ever experienced stuff? John Raymer would say, is it Kalunga? Have you? Well, let's turn to 2 Timothy 3 and 12. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. Yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Isn't that strange? You know yourself, anytime you stepped out, anytime you says, I've decided to follow Jesus, and you denied your flesh things that would have made you acceptable to the crowd, things that would have made the world come and pat you on the back. You're a great guy. But the moment you took a stand for righteousness' sake, the moment your life was ordered by the Spirit and not by the flesh, and not by the voices that come, the moment that happens, do you know what happens? You will suffer some form of persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and be assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Wow, wow. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. How does that grab you? I had a pastor who would say, put that in your pipe and smoke it. But this is the Word of God. And we like to have a party. And I love Holy Ghost parties. But sometimes we need to look into the Word and say, well, there are areas of the Word that's designed and Holy Spirit breathed so that we would have, that's profitable to us. It's profitable in that we would know our doctrinal position, that we know how to answer when we are questioned, what do you stand for? That we would know what our stand is before the world. And it's the Scripture is good for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be equipped. Turning now to Galatians 5:16. A lot of Scripture, but the Scripture is sharper. Amen? Galatians 5:16. Do you know where you find Galatians? If you find Ephesians, you go back one. Find Philippians, you go back two. But I try to remember, somebody said, define Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, just think it this way. Gentiles eat pork. Okay. If you find the pork, you know where to find how to get to eat with the Ephesians and then Gentiles. All right. Galatians 5 and 16 says this. I say then, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. Isn't that something? They're contrary to one another. There's no synchronization. There's no agreement. There's no covenant between the desires of the flesh and your spirit. They're at war with each other. Your carnal, natural flesh will always go in a direction where your spirit man says, wait! And the flesh says, I'm going! And they are at enmity. These are contrary to one another so that you do not do the things that you wish, speaking to your carnal man. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The law could only affect the flesh. And if you could keep all of the law perfectly, maybe it would have been okay. But no, we could not, could we? They couldn't, and we can't. But Jesus can. And he came and fulfilled the law. And when we are in him by the Spirit, then we live in control, and the flesh is subject to the spirit man. Now, a little bit of teaching going on here this morning, but we'll shout and dance another time. So, the thing is, how do I walk in the Spirit? Walk in the Spirit. How do we do that? How do we walk in the Spirit? Number one is to study the Word. There's great passages of Scripture that we haven't revisited maybe for years. And we like to park out in areas that you know, it's comfortable for where we are. We have this fashion of finding that verse that we really like, and we repeat that verse, and we're so comfortable there. But the whole Word, once we take the whole Word and embrace the whole Word of God with love in our hearts for the whole Word, we're going to find that there are areas that bring correction, for reproof, for instruction. And so today, I believe Holy Spirit is saying, begin to study the Word of God again. Study those areas that make you a little uncomfortable, because it's still the Word of God. And it's good. It's good for the man who desires to live godly in Christ Jesus. Amen? So, number one, we study the Word. You see, Psalm 119:11. Do you remember what it says? We have already partly read it. 119:11 says, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. And then Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12. How many know what that says? Anybody quote it? Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and powerful. That means the whole word. The whole word is living. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of the soul and the spirit. The soul is fleshly. And the Word of God exposes the flesh and divides the soul from the spirit so that we can understand it's the spirit man that we rule from. It's the spirit. When we walk in the spirit, we rule by the spirit out of our spirit man. And we bring into subjection our soulish man. So the Word of God then is necessary that we would see the divisiveness between the flesh and the spirit. And it also it's a divider of the joints and the marrow. And as a discerner, the Word of God is also a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Isn't that powerful? And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. Whether or not we read that part of the Scripture that makes us uncomfortable doesn't change a thing, because we are accountable for the Word of God, the whole Word. So we walk in the Spirit by studying the Word. We walk in the Spirit by watching and praying. Watching and praying. We walk in the Spirit by resisting the devil. Resisting the devil. Yes, there's the flesh, but then there's the devil. And lots of times, we blame everything on the devil. I wouldn't put it the way I heard one person say it, but you're the devil you got to deal with. I wouldn't say that, because you're not. But the flesh you have to deal with, and then there is the devil. There are both entities. They are both entities that we have to deal with. Our natural flesh, desires of the flesh, is at enmity with the Spirit of God. Jesus said, in your patience, possess your souls. That means you rule from your spirit. King David said, bless the Lord, soul. He's speaking to himself. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forgetting at all his benefits. So what's the application? How do we study the Word of God? We study the Word of God regularly. It ought to be a habit. It ought to be something we do on a routine basis. It ought to be on our night table at the very least. It's wonderful to be the last thing that you read before you go off to sleep is the Word of God. Pick it up and read something. Just read a few verses. Because when we walk in the Spirit, it's necessary we do that. It's necessary. And that's how we find the strength to keep on walking in the Spirit. We do it regularly. The other thing we do to walk in the Spirit is in studying the Word of God. What I found very good to do is to write down certain thoughts you get as you read the Word. As Holy Spirit gives you revelation, you think you're going to remember that. And you often don't, right? You it was so good, man. And it seemed so simple at the time. But a week later, I was reading the Scripture the other day, and man, wow, this came to me. I can't remember it now, but it was some good. But if we write it down, that nugget that Holy Spirit just caused a leap in your heart. Now, if we value the Word of God, if we see the treasure that's there. It's for our learning. It's for our correction. It's to teach us and to make us strong so that we walk in the Spirit. So the nuggets are there. And the thing is that once you write it down, you are more likely to remember it. Lots of times I'll type out, 15, 20 pages for a message. And somebody says, you're not going to read it. No, but I got to type it because I want to get it in my spirit. Want to get it in there. So we do that. I'm just giving you some advice today. Is that okay? Because maybe you all do it. Well, fine. Go find some people who don't do it and tell them. Hallelujah. And then the other thing is wonderful. Ask Holy Spirit to teach you. Do you know what? The other day, we on our old Honda that destined to go to our daughter-in-law, we lost the keys. And the house key is on that Honda key. And we can't get in the house unless we take the Honda key with us, because the house key is there. So we knew the key had to be in the house, and we lost it. We could not find that key. We went for days. So we're checking every pocket, every coat, every pants, and we're going through everything. We're under the Chesterfield. We're top of the fridge, we're under the bed, we're in the night table, we're everywhere. Well, maybe it's out in the car, but how can it be in the car? We had to open the house to get in here. We had to bring them in. We went for days. Well, we had to leave the house unlocked when we left. Not the end of the world, but we did. And so it finally came when we were at an end. We just didn't know where to turn. So Lynn and I, we were walking it towards the kitchen there, and I said, oh, why don't we ask the Lord? It took us days to clue in, right? Days and days. And searching, how many times you put our hands in that pocket? It's not there, right? And so I said, Lord, Holy Spirit, you know exactly where those keys are. Linda turned around and she's walking in the hall. I think she's going to go for another purse. And and so I said, Holy Spirit, you know exactly. I'm asking you now, please show me where those keys are. God is my judge. I bet it wasn't 10 seconds. I just walked right along like this. I don't know if somebody's even pushing me. And I looked under the table, and there are the keys on the inside chair, you know, of the table. I guess it got knocked off the table and it landed on the seat of the chair that we never used up against the wall. There they were. Not 10 seconds. He works that way. He's that relevant. He's that current. He can be that real. He's that close. How many times we just go about our business when he's saying, ask me. Ask me. And we never do it. And so ask the Lord when we study the Word. And it doesn't make sense sometimes. I read something, man, I never saw that before. And I was, oh, Holy Spirit, would you show me what that means? And boom, no time. Wow, I've never seen that before. I sound like Michael that time, didn't I? That was good. So we ask Holy Spirit, if the Word seems complicated to you, if it's to the point where, man, I never understand it, you know, but try this. Write down every little thought you get, consistently read it, and ask Holy Spirit. I'll guarantee you it works. Amen. This week, try it. Take the Word and say, Lord, I just read that. I don't know what. Would you show me? Would you show me what you're saying to me today in that Word? And I'll tell you, it's the most exciting thing when, whew, man, I never seen that before. And you're going to want to preach it. Well, get in line. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So how do we watch and pray? That's the second thing we do so that we walk in the Spirit. We watch and pray. We watch and pray like this. By, number one, know your own weaknesses. Know your weaknesses. Watch. Watch. Don't watch out for somebody else's weaknesses. Watch out for your weaknesses. Because the enemy will exploit. The enemy will exploit you in your area of weakness. For somebody, it's a piece of cake. For others, it's like water on a duck's back. Don't bother them in the least. But if it's your weakness, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Why? Because the Scripture says, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Why? So that you do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Beware of the situation. Satan knows which weakness to exploit in every situation. You know, when we talk about lust, how many people, when I said that, your mind went to sex, right? I bet you a good many. I should have said, don't put up your hand, but anyway, too late. But lust occurs in areas of our lives, in more than just in the sexual area. You can say, well, I got no temptation in the sexual area, and that's that dirty, rotten rascal right there. But you may have lust in other areas. Lust of the flesh is a broad term. It's a broad term. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you in prayer. How about that one? That's another way we know how we can walk in the Spirit. When we pray, allow Holy Spirit to lead us. Allow Holy Spirit. It's amazing how that works. What about the third thing we mentioned, which was to resist the devil? Resist the devil. How do we resist the devil? You know, one way is to deprive the devil of every opportunity. That's one way we can resist him. Why do we do that? Because we want to walk in the Spirit. We want to walk in the Spirit. So we recognize, we have to recognize the enemy's schemes. That's the other way to resist the devil. If we don't know what his schemes are, then our guard is down and we're not resisting him. But if we sharpen our spiritual, what? Minds? No. Sharpen our spirit, man. This is a word I've lost. Then we're going to know what his schemes are. The enemy's got amazing schemes. And you know, all of his schemes, you know where they end up? There's a target, and it's to come right into your mind. The Bible calls it wiles. In Ephesians, we talked about it a couple weeks ago. The wiles of the devil, the schemes of the devil, is to have to build a highway right into your mind. Right into your mind. That's where the battle is. It's in the mind. And so we know how to walk in the Spirit and how to resist the devil by understanding what his schemes are, making ourselves aware of it. And sometimes we can do that by seeing how others got tripped up along the way. You mean the devil does that? Get out of here, devil. Yes. We all know people who put their hand to the plow, the old gospel plow, and they turn back. The Bible says if you put your hand to the plow and turn back, you're not fit for the kingdom. Turning back, he calls you to return ye unto God. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as wool. Hear the voice that entreats you. Oh, return ye unto God. That means somebody that was in God. That was somebody whose hand was on the plow. And the Spirit of God says, return. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Can somebody backslide? Well, if there couldn't be no reason, the call wouldn't be to come and reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins return unto the Lord. So we've seen people, we know people who unfortunately became a casualty of the wiles, the schemes of the enemy. Well, we can see that and learn by it, and we can know the wiles. We can know the schemes of the enemy, and we can say, no, sir. No, sir. It's too important to me, to my children, and to my children's children. Jesus said, the devil has come, but he's found no place in me. Give no occasion to the flesh. What was Jesus saying? He found nothing in me. He was tempted. Can you be tempted? Oh, yeah. Are you tempted? Yes, you are. Don't tell me you're not. We all face temptations of one form or another. That doesn't make you guilty. Jesus was tempted in all points like we are, but without sin. That's why Jesus could say he got nothing in me because he didn't yield to the temptation. So we walk in the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit by resisting the devil, depriving him of any opportunity, and we pay careful attention to his schemes. And we rebuke him. And what happens? We rebuke him in the name of Jesus. And the Bible says he will flee from you. Yes. It might be hard to do in the heat of the battle. It might be hard to do in the moment of temptation. But there's where we need a knowledge of the word, isn't it? Because now it goes beyond our feelings. And we stand in the knowledge of what the word says. And as an army, as a disciplined one, as a disciple who's strong in the Lord, and who's been disciplined by the word of correction, discipline, now in the heat of the moment, where it's difficult, we can say, in the name of Jesus, it kills me. It's hard to get it out. It's hard to form the words. But you find the strength based on the knowledge of the word. I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes. And according to his word, that enemy must lose his grip. Must lose it. But we can perish if we don't have this knowledge. In other words, we cast, for another word for perish there in the word in the scripture means cast off restraint. But we cast off restraint if we don't have a knowledge of this word. And if we cast off restraint, we're not resisting the enemy, and the enemy will have a field day with you. And you will rule from your flesh man. And when you rule from your flesh, your spirit man is silenced. And over a period of time, I'm not saying overnight, because it's the Spirit of God will strive with you. He will teach you. He will woo you and draw you, and he calls you. But there does come a time with continual, constant rejection of his voice and Holy Spirit, when his spirit will lift off. And that voice grows more and more in the distance, and you're left to the enemy's devices. And you're not walking in the Spirit anymore. You're walking according to the flesh. Wow, wow. I'll tell you, I'm surprised hearing myself, because I normally don't speak like this. But I just feel it. We ought to do this today. I really felt of the Lord, this is where he would want us to go. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, the devil comes to test you. And I had a flash in my mind like this when I looked at that. One of those times when you write it down. And I saw it, the devil comes to test you, and it's like a policeman that comes to check you to see how your driving is and if you're under the influence or not. He comes to test you and check, how is your walk, in other words. He wants to see how your walk is. So you step out of the car. The enemy says, okay, step out of that place. Step out of that walk you're on. I want to test you. And step out, sir. And now let's see what comes out of your mouth. I'm going to test you. Let's see if you can walk the line. The enemy wants to see if you can walk the line. Like the policeman would. And you know the word says, walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. And what the devil wants you to do is to walk in the flesh. And he wants to check you. He comes to test you to see if you're going to walk in the flesh. And if you're walking in the flesh, you're like this. But if you're by the Spirit, you're upright. You walk straight. You walk with a foundation under you. You're not like somebody walking across a marsh or a bog. You walk with something under you. It's called the rock. And you're walking straight. And the enemy wants to test you and see are you walking in the spirit? Are you walking by the flesh? Because he wants you to walk by the flesh. Thank you, Lord. Because you're mine, Johnny Cash said, I walk the line. And I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. Because you're mine, Lord, I keep a close. Because you're mine, Lord, I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. Hallelujah. Like a soldier. How many know there's an army that's rising? I love when you sing that song. There's an army that's rising. I'll tell you right now, an army is not for wimps. You got some discipline. You know how to walk straight. You know how to walk in unison. You know how to march in step, because the army that's rising up can walk in step. Got some discipline. Got some grit. Got some tight muscles in your jaw. And know how to, when there's nothing left, to keep on going. And when the feelings are gone, I'm going because I've been trained. I've been trained by it. I've been disciplined by it. And I'm a disciple. And I know whom I serve. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So I walk by the Spirit. Are you in the Spirit? Are you walking in the Spirit? Are you walking in the flesh? Because you're mine, Lord, I walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. There's a nugget I wrote down as I was studying this. Here's how it works in the kingdom. Walking in the Spirit will make you walk right and straight. Walking in the flesh, and you will fail the test. Not very profound, but it's so true. It's so true. Why walk in the Spirit? Why do it? So that you do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See that? Your flesh has got a mandate. Your flesh got a plan. Our flesh, my flesh, got a plan. And we put it to death daily. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, take up his cross. Take up your cross. What did we say a few moments ago about we suffer with him? Take up your cross. This is not a good news message, maybe, is it? But it is. Because it doesn't end in death. It ends in resurrection life. Because if we die with him, we will rise with him. Hallelujah. He says, if you're going to come after me, then take up your cross. I'll do the physical dying for you. I'll go to the cross and I'll shed my blood. I'm just asking you to deny yourself. What? Deny your flesh that wars against your spirit that I've quickened and made alive. And he says, I've designed something for you, by the way. I'm going to prepare something for you, because I know that by the time 24 hours rolls around, you're going to need me again. So I've got this thing called new mercies every morning for you. Hallelujah. You may have blown it today, but I got good news, Jesus says. I got another mercy for you, and it's called Monday Morning Mercy. And it's new. My God. My God. So we come before him. Lord, I commit this day into your hands. I rely on that precious blood of Jesus. That is fresh today, is as fresh as it was 2,000 years ago. It sits under mercy seat in heaven. And God sees me through the blood when it's applied. And I apply the blood through my repentance. I've sinned, Lord. Oh, no, I don't sin. Well, Jesus says, then you make him a liar. If you say that. We all sin. And Scripture says, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. It's not like we're not going to. Most likely, sometimes we'll go a whole stretch, but after a while, the enemy comes with a brand new scheme, and we blew it, and before you know it, that guy who cut you off. Right? Man alive, I just washed the car. Lord, bless him. Bless him, Lord. Forgive me. God says, that's good. I get a mercy for you right now, this day. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So from this moment on, church, from this moment on, can we say, by the grace of God, right? It's by his grace, isn't it? The grace of God is the empowerment. It's his empowerment that I can walk this life the way that he's called me to walk. Will I blow it? Will I mess up? Yeah, so did the man after God's own heart, David. He messed up. But what separated him from others was his willingness to acknowledge that he sinned. And God, forgive me, I'm sorry. And we go from glory to glory, right? We're being changed and we're growing. And so we can determine in our heart today, Father, from this moment on, I will endeavor to walk by the Spirit. And I give you permission, Holy Spirit, to remind me once again of the most elementary areas of my life that I've let my guard down. Because when I do that, I empower my flesh. And the lust of my flesh gets stronger and stronger in the area of my weakness. Wow. Wow, wow. So from this moment on, can we bow for a moment? I want to pray over you. I want to pray. Holy Spirit, I pray that we give you permission, Lord, that from this moment on, that we would as a body, as a church, walk in a deeper revelation of you as we submit to your Lordship, and we invite and welcome your correction, Holy Spirit, and we invite and we welcome you, the teacher, to be our teacher, to instruct us in ways that we would have everything in life that pertains to godliness and health and strength, and that we would put to death areas of the flesh that would cause us to live a defeated life, but that we would walk a life of victory, that we walk a life that empowers us to see your kingdom come and be established in our family, in our children, our children's children, that they would walk in the truth and a knowledge that sets men free in Jesus' mighty name. And I bless you now. I bless you, church. I bless each one of you in the name of Jesus. And I pray Holy Spirit would be more precious and real to you this week than he was last week. Amen? As we step into a new level of the revelation knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord some praise here. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for your word. It's truth, my God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Pastor. We hope you enjoyed today's message. If you would like a copy of this message or any other message, you can contact us by writing Family Worship Center, P.O. Box 1092, St. George in Brunswick, E5C2G8, or call us at area code 506-755-3759. You can also visit us online at www.stgeorgefwc.ca. You can also find us on Facebook. On behalf of pastor, staff, and congregation of the Family Worship Center, we would like to welcome you to join us as we all meet together at 10:30 a.m. right here at the Family Worship Center in St. George, New Brunswick. Until next week, God bless, and have a blessed week.